Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Nuance Needed. I'm Amanda.
And this is Sam.
And today we were planning on talking about how can you tell the difference between intuition and your anxiety. And specifically, we had someone write in about this question, sort of asking, especially if you've maybe gone through trauma or you've had a difficult experience, right? Sometimes you may react to that and make decisions from that place rather than making decisions from genuine interest. So we're going to talk about some ways you can try to tease those two apart.
This is a big one that I notice in a lot of my clients. And it's something that I had to learn how to parse through myself.
Yeah, I was thinking with your own experience, especially with like leaving religion, that probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do when your trauma is what installed your values or your intuition, so to speak?
I think something that I've had to disconnect from is a feeling that I had to wait for a confirmation of an answer from something higher than me. Like a higher power of some kind. That took some time to sort through. And I think it even is still something that even now, like when I'm going through uncertainty or I have a big decision to make or I'm kind of weighing different options, it's something that I still think like, well, maybe that's why this isn't working out, or maybe that's why this isn't making sense, because I haven't paid proper homage to the powers that be. So for me, the religious background of it, it's hard to suss out, because I think I did have like pretty solid intuition as a kid. Like I was a fairly aware person naturally. Yeah. I didn't always realize what I was aware of, but I was aware of things that I didn't like or things that I didn't want or things that didn't work for me. And I found that when I was younger, like in my teens and my early 20s, I didn't have a lot of patience for people that like waffled really easily or couldn't commit to things, because I felt like I could do that. But then the funny thing is, I then spent, like when I got to Utah, I then spent the next 10 years basically like shutting down my intuition and waiting for a larger answer of like the thing that was going to happen that would make staying in Utah better and easier. Yeah. And like, no, like this opportunity and that opportunity and this, that, and this, when the whole time my intuition was like, you need to get the hell out. Like, you're in the wrong place. Like, I would have that thought, like, so often.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, the body keeps the score is a controversial thing, which is fine. But I do stand that I do think there is some truth to it, that your body stores tension and stress, and that has an impact on you. However, the reason I bring that up is because while I was in Utah, the last, like, 4-ish years I was there, I had horrific dreams all the time. I had horrible, horrible stress dreams. I would be running from something. I would be lost. I would be being chased. I would be scared or emotional, or like I would wake up crying, or like and all freaked out. And it was like all this. Like my subconscious was like,
yeah,
you hate your life. And so when I finally started to listen to what I actually wanted, which is what I would classify your intuition as, life felt a lot easier. And it felt like I was able to actually parse through like choices. Like not even just, because I think decisions sometimes carries like this really big ominous you know, like the, moving was a decision, right? Yeah. Like that's a big thing that is really hard to like turn that ship around from once you commit to doing it. But like choices, just like in the day to day of assessing, like, what do I want? What matters to me? What do I care about? I feel like practicing listening to that voice and honoring it is how you actually build your sense of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're trusting that you'll listen to like what you actually want. And so when I started doing that, it felt like the bigger things in my life didn't feel as like overwhelming. Like obviously like life is still wild and it throws you curveballs and adjusting is hard and going through change is hard and making decisions that are going to have good consequences but also really painful consequences is hard. But I think your brain will scream at you until you make the changes that you actually want to make and listen to that intuition.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to say something about the body keeps score too, because and I've been doing some research on this and we will probably have a deep dive on it at some point. But really, I think that was like so sensationalized. And really what they came to is just that like your brain controls your body.
Yeah.
Duh. And it's not that there is something inside of your hip that needs to be surgically removed. It is just that when your brain is triggered into feeling trauma or a trauma response or you're rethinking about something that happened, your body will remember how you felt in that moment a lot of times and will bring back up that like physical body tension. So it really isn't that like your body doesn't keep the score. It's just that the way I think a lot of people have like misinterpreted that is, and we kind of get into this in the like the episode I did on screaming and catharsis, the myth of catharsis, how it's like there isn't something stuck in your body. It's, there's something going, like, just because you can feel something doesn't mean you've actually processed it. But I think what's really interesting, Sam, too, that's hard is, it is so hard, like, I don't know, as someone who also is sort of prone to more of like that OCD type of stuff, I think people can get really confused between intrusive thoughts and intuition. Like, especially, I think if you aren't prone to that, you may have more of the experience of like your brain screaming at you. But I know a lot of times I've had my brain scream at me when I'm really scared, or I've had like alarming postpartum thoughts, or I like have had this deep sense of knowing before getting on a plane before that I'm going to die. And like that wasn't my intuition, I don't think. Like I think it's just interesting because like your brain can sort of be sneaky, and maybe you could say your anxiety like shape shifts and stuff like that. So yeah, I guess my one way, like especially when I was kind of getting into recovery, because even if you think about how you react to a body sensation, there can be a lot of intensity from that that doesn't, right? I can imagine someone's listening to that and they're like, okay, then I have a very intense feeling that I shouldn't go to this party or I shouldn't be friends with someone. How do I navigate that? And for me, I've really tried to come back to like, what are my values? Because I can come up with unlimited reasons to do or not do something. It's when like that deep sense of knowing also is in alignment with my values or real issues in my life. Like I have had moments where I've just pushed past the point of doing what was healthy for me, even though it was in alignment with my values. Like I experienced real physical constraints of my body, for example, and I had to be like, I just can't do this even though I want to. That's kind of how I distinguish it. Yeah, what do you think?
People really need to practice not giving their thoughts so much validity.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this like in all directions. Like to allow a casual, curious approach to anything that like flies through your dome.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we put so much pressure on like, well, I'm thinking this, so that must mean this is what's true. And I do think what is hard is you do sometimes hear those stories of people that have like whatever, be it spiritual, be it metaphysical, be it whatever you want to put to it, right? These very clear moments of like, I need to move my car, right? Yes. And they go move their car, and then their car, like where their car was, got hit with like a boulder, you know, like,
yeah.
I think there are those stories, and sometimes those are true. And mm-hmm. and I don't have an explanation for why that happens or what that is. However, when you are just like living your life day to day, you have to allow your brain to like be a brain.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like, sometimes you're going to think things that are weird,
yeah,
and odd because it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And I remember like my first experience with what I didn't realize was an intrusive thought, but mm-hmm. it was, is I was in middle school. This would have been like, I think it would have been like sixth grade. And it was this huge assembly. And it was like, everybody was there. And we were all in this, like, you know, massive cafeteria with like a stage. And there were a couple teachers up there. And the principal was like, you know, speaking. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I was sitting there just listening. I had a couple of my friends around me. And in my head, all of a sudden, I was like, what would happen? Like, what if I just, like, stood up naked? You know? Like, it's, yeah. like, just, like, and that was the first, and I remember, like, sitting there and being like, ugh. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to do that. Like, why am I thinking that? I don't want to do that. No. Like, ew.
Yeah.
You know, being 12, but, or 11. I was 11 in sixth grade. And I think, I'm really glad you brought up values, because that was going to be, like, my next
mm-hmm.
off ramp was, it's okay to like challenge yourself too.
Mm.
And to say like, no, I don't want to throw my baby off of a cliff.
Yeah.
I actually don't yeah. want to do that. And just because I've had that thought doesn't mean I want to do that fundamentally.
Yeah.
And I think if you're feeling distress about that thought, that alone is the thing that tells me this isn't something you want to do.
Yeah.
And I think thoughts, because a lot of people, I press a lot like this idea of like knowing ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a theme in a lot of what I talk about, a lot of what I do. And of course, I'll have people say like, well, how do I know? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when something is authentic to your fundamental makeup as a person, there's no distress around it.
Mm.
There actually tends to be like, almost like a strange peace with mm-hmm. it. Not always, because some things are just hard and frustrating, but like a lot of times knowing what we want and knowing who we are is not the problem.
Mm.
The problem is the projections that we put on the possible outcomes of what will happen if we start to verbalize that or live that way. Right?
Totally.
It's not the actual, like when you think to yourself, like, you know, someone who realizes, like, I don't want children,
mm-hmm.
right? Someone who realizes in their bones, they don't want children.
Yeah.
But then kind of, like, wrestle around it, right? Well, but, like, what if this and what if that? And, you know, but what will they think and what will this mean and what will happen and blah, 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 which like in some ways you do kind of have to spend time with those types of questions,
mm-hmm.
right? But to keep coming back to in my quiet moments.
Yeah.
If when I'm watching a motherhood scene on TV and mm-hmm. I go, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
right? And there's no part of you that goes, oh, I might actually want that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I think I actually had a realization of not the kids thing, but I think something that feels similar to kids. And I also think it's actually more controversial than kids. So come on this.
Tell me this.
Come on this ride with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've realized I don't want a dog.
Well, your boyfriend has a cat. So
he has a cat. I know. I like it. I realized, like, oh my God, I don't want a dog.
Mm.
I don't want a dog at all. I don't want to walk a dog.
Mm.
I don't want to have to play with a dog.
Mm.
I don't want to have to spend the $40 bajillion that all dogs cost at vets, apparently, that I hear about all the time.
Yeah, it depends on the dog. But
I mean, it depends on the dog and the owner. But mm-hmm. I don't want a dog. Mm-hmm. And I love dogs. I think dogs are great. I will spend time around dogs. Mm-hmm. If somebody has a dog at their house, I could care less. I'll spend time with the dog. I'll cuddle the dog. I'll play with the dog. I don't want a dog. I've realized that does not fit the life that I want. And I've been scared to say that out loud. Because I feel like when you say that, people are like, you heathen. Like, you monster. You don't want unconditional love, like, from this animal. No, I don't. I don't want that, actually. And it's been very freeing to allow myself to lean into that. And this is just, like, a very silly, like, example.
Yeah.
But I realized that, actually, like, before Eric came into mm-hmm. my life. I had kind of been – because a lot of people were like, oh, are you, like, do you think you'd get a dog or blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And I would kind of be like, you know, maybe, yeah. Like, I think I'd really want a yard, like, before I do that. But, like, oh, I love dogs so much. I think I would really want, like, a little dog, blah, blah, blah. But then in the back of my mind, I would be like, nah, I don't want to walk my dog. And from my apartment window, I look down. I'm on the third floor.
Yeah, your apartment's very dog friendly.
My apartment is very dog friendly. And I love mm-hmm. it. I see them in the hallway all the time and they're so cute. And I say hi. But I also look down on a dog park and I'll see these poor people standing out there in the pissing rain. And when it was like -2, it was like -17 for like 2 weeks in January. Mm-hmm. And I was like, nope. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. And I'm okay. And I'm going to be proud to say it now because I've said it to you. But like, I think it's that, right? Like it's allowing it, even if it seems, we wrap around like, well, what will people think if I say that this is mm-hmm. what I want? Or how will people react? Or what, does this change things? Or, right? And obviously, like, there's a spectrum to this. Like, actually, in reality, zero people care that I don't want a dog. But it goes to say, like, it feels weird to stand in this place of confidence to verbalize, no, this is, I actually don't care about these things.
I feel like what you're saying that is, like, a useful tool is mm-hmm. that you can know what is the decision for you. You can know what you value or what your life, what, you know, what you should do depending on the current circumstances of your mm-hmm. life and still be uncomfortable and frustrated yes. and annoyed about how the world reacts to that decision mm-hmm. or even some of the logistics of it, right? Like you can know mm-hmm. you want to have children and then mm-hmm. be very frustrated about the logistics of having a child. Mm-hmm. For example, too. And I'm trying to think of how I've like also distinguished things between because like I was very unsure about having kids for so long and I would watch like things on TV and I would be like, ugh, I don't know if I want that. But I think, you know, I was so worried about my life and how it would change me and like all of these external factors that I wasn't like I was too focused on that to sit in regardless of that what did I want because I think it's really complicated when you have fear caught up in there also and I think like there's a lot of pressure specifically these days on making decisions like we're so obsessed with trying to make the best decision, the right decision, right? Like it, you just need to, you know, excavate deep down inside of yourself deep enough and then the right decision will be revealed. And that creates so much pressure that people become paralyzed. And like I discovered that I really did want to have a child, but it was hard for me to accept that for a while. Because it felt so illogical to me. Like, I was like, how am I going to do this and, like, willingly, like, sacrifice my career, sacrifice potentially years of my life, potentially my mental health, money, right? Like, all of these things. It just felt so illogical. But I had to just be like, I still want it, it doesn't matter. So I think it is really hard to tell the difference. And I think to kind of pull it back, Sam, to what you were saying when we first started the episode, I think that if it's your intuition, it will like continue to knock on your door.
Yep.
Which is distinct though from doubting yourself and trying to like remake the same decision. And I'm trying to explain it better because I feel like it is, you could hear what I'm saying and be like, those are the same. All right. If you're listening to this and feeling like something is landing, like you keep hearing yourself in what Sam and I are talking about, I want you to pay attention to that because when that happens, it's not a coincidence. And if you've been thinking about therapy, but you've really had not great luck, you want someone who gets it, not just clinically, but personally, I want to share with you about my practice, Therapy for Women Center. All of our therapists have actually been through the things we treat, whether that's trauma, anxiety, eating disorders, parenthood. When you're sitting there and talking about hard things, you know that the person on the other side really gets it. That's really why I started my practice, because I was sick of going to therapists who didn't fully understand the things that they were treating. At this point, we have over 30 therapists, and we actually hand match you to the right one based on what you're going through. And if we don't get the match right, we'll waive your intake fee and help you switch to another therapist in the practice. We really feel like finding the right therapist shouldn't feel like another thing to white knuckle through. When you reach out to us, you can talk to our intake coordinator, you can email us, you can text us. We'd love to hear from you. We serve 42 states online, in person in the Philadelphia area, but right now we have immediate openings in North Carolina, Arizona, Florida, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, South Carolina, Ohio. We'd love to support you if you're looking for a new therapist. Reach out to us at therapyforwomencenter.com or you can text us at 215-847-6749.
Well, and I think, like, to whoever's listening to this, take what works and leave what doesn't.
Yeah.
And I really want to empower more people to do that because I think...
Should we rename the podcast that?
take what works and just walk away if it doesn't. I don't know what you want. But I do think we are all, and you and I have said this a million times a million different ways, but it works for this conversation. We are overwhelmed and inundated with information, most of which we don't actually need.
Yes.
And I opened Substack the other day, and the first note that was posted was so helpful. And it was like, there should be an alert on these platforms that says you've consumed 85 different thoughts in 3 minutes, probably. Yeah. Why don't you put your phone down and take a break? And I was like, that is so accurate. And we're all getting exposed to that. It doesn't matter what platform we're on or how we're consuming too much.
Yes.
And we know too much. And we think that because we know so much and we have access to so much information, that means that we are now going to be able to avoid discomfort somehow.
Or that make the right decision.
Or make the right decision. Yes.
Like, this I think will there, be. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I think there isn't a right decision. So you make the best decision you can.
No.
If it is something that maybe your intuition wants you to, like, you know, Sam is making the decision right now to not get a dog. She doesn't have any interest in it.
Yeah.
In a couple years, maybe her circumstances change and she has the desire. That doesn't mean the decision she made not to have a dog before was wrong. And the really good thing is, besides having kids, most decisions are reversible.
Yes.
And most decisions don't even matter. And we spend an extraordinary amount of time, and I say this as someone who doesn't practice what I preach a lot of times in this and get obsessed with trying to find the best choice to make. But, like, truly, most choices don't matter and don't alter your life that much.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. But social media acts like it is a travesty to do anything that isn't perfectly in alignment with your intuition or whatever.
I mean, this is like a larger question I've been grappling with in the last year. Because I think, well, it's almost been a year since I moved, which is
That wild. Is, I know. I looked at that the other day and I was like, that's crazy.
That's wild. I've lived approximately 107 lives.
Yes, you have.
In between today and October 29th of last year. But I think I had to make, I spent like really seriously about 2 years making nonstop, well, 3 years really, making nonstop decisions around change and pivot and adjusting and how, you know, do I do this? Do I do that? What is the thing? And the thing that was so helpful for me was to allow myself to just commit to something and to realize that committing to something wasn't actually committing to an outcome. Ooh. What I was committing to was now working towards an outcome. Mm-hmm. So when I, in November of 2022, when I like firmly decided like I gotta go, right? I knew the way my life was built right then, I didn't, the pieces weren't aligned yet to pull the ripcord and be like, I'm like packing my shit in a truck and I'm getting out.
Yeah.
So I said to myself like, okay, the first thing I have to do, job.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. I want to leave the hospital. I hate it here. It's the worst thing I've ever done. Time to build my one-on-one practice.
Yeah.
So I just, my focus was, what do I need to do to build out my one-on-one practice? Okay. I did that. Yeah. Then I left the hospital. Then my dad got sick. Okay. I'm helping with my family. That is the choice that I'm making right now. I'm hitting pause so that I can help my family.
Yeah.
Then my family stabilizes. Then, okay, I apparently am moving to Florida. That doesn't make sense, but I want to leave.
Yeah.
And this is the opportunity presenting itself to me to be able to leave.
Yeah.
And so like to allow yourself to think of things strategically rather than focused on like, well, what's going to happen if I do this and what will happen if I do that? Because that's what I got trapped in for years and I didn't move. I was stuck and I was trapped and I was miserable because I was racking my brain thinking of like, well, what if that and what if this? And I don't really, but I really want to do that, but I don't think I want to do this. And this is, but what if I go here and what if I don't? That's useless.
Yeah.
It's not helpful. It's not. And the second I started just doing things, the second I started to just see this as like a constant process of rebuilding my life rather than trying to achieve some insane end goal, right? Mm-hmm. I could not in any way, shape, or form have predicted when I pulled out of Utah on October 29th, 2024, that exactly a year later, I was going to be moving into an apartment in Jersey City, New Jersey.
Yep.
Life is wild like that. And I don't know what is pulling the strings. I don't know what is whatever. But I think sometimes when you allow yourself to just trust that you want something and that it's okay that you want that thing, life starts to make more sense.
Yeah.
Because it's exactly as you said when you were, you know, considering having your daughter. Like, you know, okay, I'm still scared because it's inherently a scary thing. But I still want to do that scary thing. So I'm going to do it and I'm going to figure it out. And then, you know, the counter argument a lot of make is, well, I don't know if I can figure it out. You've figured everything else out.
Right. Well, that's the problem is like so many of these decisions and so much of life is revealed in doing the action.
Yes.
That's what's so trippy about it is like you say you're going to start a business. You don't really know what that means. And then you take the first step and then new challenges and things you didn't know are revealed. And then you take the next step and then new things are revealed. So it is impossible and pointless to try to sit down and predict the full trajectory because you don't know what you don't know. And the only way to know is to take action towards what you want, and then you will figure it out and be able to pivot, undo it, make different decisions, do whatever after. Like it is such an annoying phrase, but I find it so true of like the way you eat an elephant is one bite at a time. Like I think about this so much with my book right now. Like it is taken turns that I did not see coming. I never would have predicted that these were the things I was going to like get into in my book, for example. It is so trippy to think about like if I would have written on a different day, would I have come up with something else? It is so weird to think about that because it is, it does feel so random what some of my ideas are. That's all you can do. You just have to keep moving through it and then you make the best decision from there. And I think maybe if we also restructured the idea of good decisions as instead like these are all these teeny decisions leading up. Like you don't get from point A to point B. There are a million other decision points to get there. So stop like stressing out about the one big decision and just look at the small thing in front of you.
Look at what is actually in front of your face and what would actually move the needle right now. And not putting yourself 10 steps down the road. Because you're not there yet. And when you're trying to structure your life around a potential possibility, right? Like you don't stand a chance. Like you really like because you're not there. That's not a version of you that actually exists. Right now. And you don't have the information and the resources you need at that point because you just need to meet yourself where you're at. In this moment. And I think it requires like, I know this cliche word, but it really does require surrender. It requires a surrender to there. I cannot control 99.9% of things. I really can't. But that 0.1%, I will be there. Like, and I will be managing it and I will be showing up for my own life and I will be. I will allow myself to be like fluid and adaptable as things happen.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We love you as always. We love getting ideas and episode suggestions from you all. So if you ever, you can reach out to us, you can DM us, you can email us at podcast@therapyforwomencenter.com.
And as for usual, anything you can do to rate, review, share, subscribe would mean the world to us.
We're on Substack if you want to hear our thoughts about the Lindsay Clancy trial. We just released that one. We would love to have you over there at nuanceneeded.substack.com.
Hell yeah. Bye.
Bye.